Welcome back, podcast fans. I'm your host, Annette Hines, and this is Parenting Impossible, the Special Needs Survival Podcast. So this is my introduction to a wonderful podcast episode that I had with one of my friends, Eric Jorgensen. I am so fortunate to be able to be talking to you today about something incredibly meaningful to me, and that is the power of community. Something that as a younger person, I never knew how impactful community was going to be to me until my daughter Elizabeth was born. So for those of you who don't know anything about me and why I started this podcast, I am an attorney. I am a mom. I am the mom of two girls, Elizabeth and Caroline. My oldest, Elizabeth, was born with a mitochondrial defect. We didn't know it when she was born. She was born a 29-week, 2-pound preemie. Scary as hell. I was young in my mid-20s. And although that may not seem young to some of you who had, you know, really early babies, I was fresh out of law school, had gone, you know, school, had just gotten married, barely had my husband whisper to me, and I was pregnant, and was just starting my adult life, really, and did not really fully understand the meaning of being a wife, never mind a mother. And here I was in the neonatal intensive care unit, looking at this little fragile thing that might not live. And scary. Community started there. When my daughter Elizabeth was born, I love to say that an advocate was born right along with her. But of course, that was a journey in and of itself. And I chronicle that journey in my book, Butterflies and Second Chances, A Mom's Memoir of Love and Loss. And loss indeed, not only did I lose so much along the way because Elizabeth was profoundly disabled, she grew up to be a wheelchair user, blind, was nonverbal, had limited communication, and was profoundly intellectually disabled as well. Although she had many gifts, like so many of us, and she was a joy to be around, but we had many challenges in our lives together. And unfortunately, when she was 2.5, we did learn that many of our issues stemmed from, I always say our, I'm sorry, but we did struggle right along with Elizabeth. So I do tend to say our issues. The mitochondrial disease that was diagnosed finally around 2.5 years old, it provided some clarity. It did not provide a way out. And for us, unfortunately, after many years, we did lose her at age 17. And this year, it will be the 10th anniversary of her passing in November. So there's a lot of sadness there. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of trauma. I still have trauma. I'm still fighting a lot of the PTSD that I have. Many of you will understand that. Many of you will, that will resonate with you. But community, what does community mean? Where does this come in? And there's so much that I have to say on the subject of community. And why am I talking about this now? Well, for so many years, I have worked on and with the idea that I've wanted to bring so much to the disability community or the special needs community, whatever language you like to use. The terms are yours, and the community, my community, our community, it's different, and it means something different to different people. And what this has evolved into for me is that I am developing and launching in September in honor of this 10th anniversary, and as the culmination of everything that I have done, a new way of doing community. And that is through Mighty Networks. I'm super excited about it. Taking the Circle of Care community that I have had on Facebook for the last almost 4 years now, I think it's been, maybe it's about 5 years now, and bringing that forward onto Mighty Networks. And, you know, we talk about why we're doing this in the podcast, and I've been talking about that for a little while now. And God willing, we're going to be done and ready, because we're working really hard at getting all of the assets moved over there. But we're doing this so that we can have our own space and place, not owned by some mighty conglomerate, but really it's us. It's our app. It's our space. And that's what I'm excited about. It's our community. It's an online community, but it's our community, not owned by somebody else. So for me, community is all about that motivation that other people give me, that common belief system. Not that we believe everything the same, but there's a common thread. People that push me and that help me move forward, and, you know, some collectivism. And it's interesting because Eric will tell you that, you know, it's different for him. So I don't think I would have survived without my community, because in the beginning, it was so, so lonely, so lonely. And if you've read my book, you'll know how I feel like I almost didn't make it. Some days I still feel that way. And the last couple of months, I've been going through a lot. And I still feel so lonely sometimes. It can be really lonely as a solopreneur. It can be really lonely sometimes as a female entrepreneur. It can be really lonely when you're grieving your lost child, having a lot that I'm going through with my youngest, Caroline. My life is not perfect. It's far from it. Things are not always great with me. And hey, whose life is perfect, right? I mean, maybe those pictures that you see on Instagram with the perfect cupcakes or that wonderful lasagna dinner that somebody shows you. I don't know. Maybe their life is like that all the time. I don't know. But to me, my life is messy. It's as messy as my living room. It's as messy as the chicken dinner I try to put out. So I don't have those perfect pictures, you know? But what I do have, I have a community that has my back. And when I need something, I can turn to them. Sometimes I can turn to a whole group, and sometimes I can just turn to one or two people. And that is community to me. I'd love to know more about what community is to you, and would love to support you in your vision of community, and certainly hope that you'll be there to support me in my vision of community. So please join us. We will be posting about this after September 1st. So excited. Hope you'll join us. There'll be certainly an opportunity to join for free. You know me, there's always going to be a free. Then there's definitely going to be some places to go where there'll be paid support and courses and coaching and all the things that I've been doing all along as well. I'll see you soon. And here we go with Eric Jorgensen. Here with one of my favorite people, Eric Jorgensen. So you may remember Eric. He's been on a podcast before, and he has been on a number of my webinars. So if you have been here before and listened to some of my podcast episodes or joined me on any number of my speaking engagements, you may have met Eric before. But if you haven't, welcome, Eric, and I would love for you to introduce yourself to our podcast fans once again.
Hi, Annette. Thank you for having me. So for those of you that aren't familiar with me, my name is Eric Jorgensen. I'm the founder of True North Disability Planning, a consulting firm where I'm helping families and the professionals that serve them navigate the maze of benefits, resources, and services, specifically around Medicaid, SSI, and transitioning from high school into adult services. I also have two podcasts. I have The Bullied Brain, which I co-host with Dr. Jennifer Frazier, talking about recovering from trauma. And I have my podcast, The ABCs of Disability Planning, where I connect people with professionals from around the country and the world who are serving the disability population in ways that I think everybody needs to know about. And that's, in a nutshell, me. Thanks, Annette.
You must check out both of those podcasts, but I love Dr. Jennifer Frazier. I love the Bullied Brain podcast. I just adored having her on my podcast and talking about recovering from trauma. And it was so uplifting to talk to her about the idea that you could come back from that, that you could actually heal your brain. It was, as somebody who's experienced trauma, as someone who has a child that has experienced trauma in the worst way, it was so uplifting to think about the ability to recover from trauma. And I know that's not what we're talking about today, but I just want to encourage people to check this out. We will have all of that contact information in the show notes, and just could not recommend it more highly. The things that you do, Eric, in your life are, I don't like to use the word amazing too lightly, but Eric has fast become one of my favorite people that I have met. I often say I'm one of the luckiest people on the planet. This podcast is one of the best things that I get to do because I get to meet such great people, and, it's fun. It's fun. I learned so much from everybody that I have on this show. And I need to figure out a way to turn it into something that makes money. We talk about that all the time. And actually, Eric is helping me with that. And that kind of leads us to some of the things that we're going to talk about today. This podcast is all about community. And what does community mean to us? And Eric is very different for me. We are people who really enjoy each other's company and love to have a conversation because we are very different people. We think about things in a very different way. We have a lot in common in the sense that, you know, we both are working on transition. We're working on, you know, financial and legal issues in young adults with disabilities. But we think about community very differently. Eric, when I say community to you, what does that evoke for you?
Hopefully something very different from what it evokes in most of your listeners. I get a very visceral negative reaction. I don't like community. I don't like the word family. I don't like any of that. And it's because of my background would prefer, you know, to be alone or on the outside or with just a very, very select few group of people, but I recognize the need for community in that, done correctly or properly or in a perfect world, I guess, communities will support each other, right? I mean, I've seen examples of that when I was in the Navy on submarines. You could argue we were a community and we supported each other, right? I mean, if you, we may give each other a hard time, and you know, may not even like each other, but if we were out in Liberty Port or somewhere and somebody got, you know, started messing with one of us, everybody else would pile in. So I understand the value of community, and it just, I don't like it in the sense of echo chambers. I don't want to be around I worry that there groupthink overtakes critical thinking. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to be around that. I want to be around people that make me better, that push me to improve myself. And if I can find people like that, then I guess I would be in a community like that. But if it's just a bunch of people who are complaining or saying how bad life is or how hard it is, I just don't care. I don't want to hear it.
So that's such an interesting perspective. And I think that, you know, that's the key, right? That community is meaningful in as long as it's serving you, you know, and it meets your needs as an individual. And people will seek out the community that serves them. And there is no one way to do community. And so community is the next level now for people in the disability world. And that's where we're headed, really. And that's true of all, you know, what I would call, I guess, social media. That's the next level that's leveling up, really. And that's where we're headed. And Eric and I have embarked on this project. I started it, and then Eric so kindly joined me because I desperately needed his help. And he was like, oh, okay. All right, Annette. I think I could scratch out a few hours a week to help you with this. And that was great. And then we found a wonderful woman, Sandra, who graciously agreed to help us as well. And she is very skilled. So we are very appreciative of her support too, along with the team that I have here that is always, always on my side and has my back. So, and funny as they are, they're like, oh God, another Annette project.
Annette, before you go much further though, I want to, you mentioned social media and community in kind of the same sentence. And see, I see community being separate and different from social media. I feel social media has been co-opted to really the companies like Facebook and X, which was formerly Twitter. They're really trying to monetize their users, right? I don't think they're trying to build a community. I don't think they're trying to make people better. I don't think they're doing anything other than try to get more money in their pockets. And what you're building on the Mighty Networks platform, your Circle of Care community, I see that very, very different from social media, because you're not trying to bring in advertisers. You're not trying to get people's data to sell it to somebody to make money. You're really trying to, well, I'll take the word trying out of it. You are creating an environment where people can come in and ask their, in air quotes, stupid questions. And you know, we all feel like we're doing it, right?
Yes.
So why not say what it is and get answers, and the answers won't just come from you and I. They'll come from parents who've been there, done that. It'll come from individuals who have been there, done that. And it creates this safe space for people to really come out and say, I am struggling. I don't need judgment. I need help.
Right. Well, that's so significant what you just said. And let's kind of explore the history of where we all started. You're younger than me, but you know, let's go back to the beginning with an older person like myself. Okay. So my Elizabeth, you know, God rest her soul, would be 28 now. And some of you have older children than I do. But when we started, there really was not the internet, you know, the pervasive connectivity that we have in an electronic way. So when we started, early intervention was a really new thing. And families, parents were not getting together. We went to a center to do therapy once a week for 2 hours. And that was the only other place I saw a parent like me. And that's when my child was well enough to go and do anything. That was the only time I got out of the house or met any other person or a family or a child like my own. That was in Virginia. It was not a great experience. And as soon as I could, I got the heck out of there and moved back to Boston, where I had what I felt like were going to be, you know, the doctors that I needed at a world-class Boston Children's Hospital. Whole other story. Whoo, you guys have heard me, you know, with some of those stories, so I won't go back into that. But when we got to Perkins School for the Blind, we started to have parent groups, and those groups of parents would get together. So we started to get out and get invited to meetings. And that was the beginning of my experience with community. Okay. Those community experiences were only available to people who could get out and get to them. That was very hard for me. My kid was really, really sick. And a lot of times the only community experience I had was in the hospital. And then I would see other parents walking their kids along the halls, and I would, you know, knock on the door, and we would be like side by side outside of our kids' rooms chatting quietly, you know, or somebody would bring a pizza in and we would sit there in our scrubs talking to each other. That's community. Okay, now let's move to the next level. Something called listservs were invented, and we would get information that way, you know. Groups started to form around your kid's disease or, you know, diagnosis. And then you would send a question out into the group, and you would wait and wait and wait and wait for an answer. It wasn't instantaneous like it is today, because you would have to wait for somebody to get to their computer. Do you remember the old, you know, AOL? You know, with all the noises, ding, 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 you know, all that. By the time everybody like dialed up, it was like incredibly slow. And, you know, you might get answers back in a few days. It's not like today where everybody was on their computer all the time. So that was very slow. But, you know, things start to evolve and you start having things move to more electronic platforms. So moving forward, you're having a lot more electronic interaction. And then, Eric, we get to, you know, the rise of social media. But a lot of the social media is information kind of coming at you. And I think that's what you're getting at, right? Is that social media, and you know, jump in here, like, is information sort of coming at you? Is that what you're kind of thinking?
Kind of. I mean, when social media started, when I first started using it, was when I was in Gitmo, and it was a way for, because we're literally surrounded by a minefield, so we don't have a lot of contact with the outside world. So it was my way of connecting with people I used to serve with, and it was useful. I mean, I never joined a lot of groups, so I don't know what that sense was like. But it was useful in that I could communicate with people. And then when I was a financial advisor, I was told join moms groups so you can answer questions. And it was, again, oftentimes it was people who were complaining about something, or they were genuinely asking for something, but it would turn into somebody would hijack the thread, and then it would turn into a complaint fest. It may not have started that way, but there was always seemed to be one or two people that just wanted to bring everything negative.
It would be a big discussion group, and then, you know, it would turn into something that was hostile or.
Yeah. And now what I see it as is a lot of clickbait. What is going to get your attention? What is going to get you to, you know, engage? And usually it's very surface level information. Some of it's wrong, or it'll be like things you need to do three things you need to do when you have a child with disability: get an ABLE account, get a special needs trust, and get life insurance or whatever. I mean, very, very surface level, no context, nothing really truly helpful, but it's clickbaity. It's very, and because tragedy draws more attention than good news does, it's often featured around so-and-so, such-and-such kid was abused, or, and so they're doing really clickbaity, trying to get your attention and get your likes. Sure. And that's not really helpful, right? I don't know what TikTok's like. I guess a lot of people are on TikTok now. I don't know what Instagram is like. I guess from what I've heard, not very many people use X anymore, or Twitter. Not many people use Facebook anymore. It's more Instagram and TikTok. I'm big on LinkedIn because it's a professional networking. That's where I do most of my, if I'm using social media. But, then Mighty Networks created this thing called, communities. Well, they didn't create it, but they found a way to really standardize it and make it a safe space. And the founder of Mighty Networks, she's brilliant. She's done a really great job with it. And within the community, they have individual spaces. And that's what I'm excited about. And that is my understanding of your vision is each of those spaces, parents are going to be able to go in and out of based on their stage of life. So maybe you have a child who just had a diagnosis. You can go into the, the birth to five or whatever, and say, here's my questions, and get those questions, get the feedback from other parents. And you're not trying to find which Facebook group matches or the Facebook group for your area. It's just easier. It's all in one place.
Yeah. And why? So we had a Facebook group called Circle of Care, and we had nearly 1,000 people in there. Why did we move off Facebook?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Have you been searching for a law firm that understands the unique challenges of your family? We can help. My name is Annette Hines, and I'm a mom and an attorney. And I'm also an advocate. And I started Special Needs Law Group because when my family was young, I struggled to find all the services and support that my family needed. We can help here at Special Needs Law Group with special needs trusts, guardianships, and maybe you aren't even sure what you need yet, and we can help with that too. Book a free call today. You can either use our link in the show notes, or you can go to www.specialneeds-law.com. See you soon.
I don't use groups. So, I mean,
so the reason we moved off Facebook is because Facebook owns our group.
Yeah.
And they own those names, and we didn't have control over Facebook. I mean, we could do our group. It was free, and we chose not to advertise and not to, sell those names or use those names for benefit, other than the fact that, of course, because we sponsored it and it cost me money to run it because I had to spend time and staff and energy. So we would put our law firm behind it. We would put our family services fiduciary firm behind it. So we would put our courses out in there and things like that. But we also did a lot of free webinars and the podcast, and a lot of free information went in that group for everybody, which was the whole point of starting the group. But the problem with Facebook is that when you sign up there, Facebook owns your email address, your Facebook information. And not only can I not get at it, but I don't know what they're doing with it, you know? And that's really the problem, is that we're limited in how we can help that community be a community and run that discussion and have chats and run webinars. And, you know, there's a lot you can do within the Facebook space, but you can do so much more when you're running your own community. And as Eric was saying, you can set up different circles where people can go in and out, where they really can fine tune what they're looking for. And it's not all about what we're doing and what information we want you to have. It's what you want to share, and for all the members to step up and be there for each other. It's really a membership and not a dictatorship. And that's the idea.
Yeah, because I see a lot of value. You know, sure, experts like you and I, and we can bring some stuff to the table in terms of, hey, this is an organization that you might want to try. But that's all we can do, right? By and large, you and I haven't used any of these organizations. We can't tell you firsthand what the experience is like. And really, that's what families need. What is the experience like if I work, I'll use Truelink, because my son has a Truelink card. I really love it. And I'm a big, I've beaten the drum for it. But so let's use Truelink as an example. Well, yeah, I'm going to say get a Truelink card. But then within the community, we can say, well, this is what, you know, my daughter used Truelink for. Or, you know, I did use Truelink. I had a problem. This is how good or bad their customer service was.
Right.
You know,
that's a great example.
Yeah, that's where more and more value from the community is going to come is, well, you know, that maybe you had a problem because this is the number you called, or, you know, whatever, was really their sales number, and you need to call their customer service number is this one. And then, you know, that's not going to come from you and I in it. It's going to come from the members of the community who know all right. these little, you know, secret codes, and, you know, the air quotes, they're not really secret, but they're things that people who are doing it really get to know.
And then we're not going to have Truelink on there as an advertiser, but we will bring a Truelink membership or service representative on to do a Q&A, who will be responsible and, you know, who will be responsive to the membership, you know, who will spend some time with people to really talk to them about some problems or some questions or some concerns that they're having. And that's the value add, right? We're not bringing a salesperson. We're going to bring an answers person.
Yeah.
And that is the difference between, you know, having a platform that is there to sell you stuff and having a platform that's there to be resourceful to a membership and to listen to the membership for what they need. So we're going to bring all of the stuff that we have fractured from everywhere into one place that we own, and that's ours. And we've been spending a lot of time bringing all those resources together from all over the place that we have. And it's costing a lot to get it set up and to get it started. So we hope that people will receive it well and will really think about it as their community, because there's going to be larger places for that big community feel that I like. And there's going to be small little rooms for that small community feel that Eric really enjoys.
Yeah. And I think it's important to, and you can have your engineer edit this out if you want to, but I think it's important to manage expectations that not everything's going to be free, right? There is going to be a free access, but then you're going to have the option to opt in for other things if you want a higher level experience. You know, but that's all under the user's control.
Right. I don't think the expectation that we're going to be able to offer all of the courses and coaching and, you know, every offering free of charge with the cost that we have to provide all of this for free, I don't think anybody would have that expectation. But there, just like everything else that we've been doing, there will be levels of opportunity for people to participate. I've always been there to provide information to our disability community, and that will never change. And Eric's been the same.
Yeah, I you know, the one thing I have in it is that I do believe people need skin in the game to be more invested in the information they receive. I think, and I think there's science behind it. You know, I can't quote a study, but I believe there's science behind it that shows when you invest in something, you value it more than if you get it for free. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for me, the things I've invested in, I've gotten a lot more value out of than taking like a free course. I just haven't really paid as much attention to. But I definitely, when I invested in my degrees and I invested in my certifications, I really felt like I got something out of it.
I agree. Well, I would love to know what our audience thinks about community and what community means to them.
And what they want from a community. What would be meaningful to them?
Yeah.
What do they feel like they're missing? What do they feel like other communities have fallen short in? You know, who are their people?
Yes. Can we be your people? We want to be your people. This has been such a long time coming, and I couldn't think of better people to be doing it with than the people that I am doing this with. So look, we're going to do this slow and kind and thoughtfully and with an ear to your response. And so please keep talking to us. Let us know how this is landing for you. We know that we cannot be all things to all people, but we're going to try to, you know, to land well for most of you. So let us know. We're putting our hearts out there on our sleeves, folks. And, you know, we hope that you will tell us how we're doing. So we're signing off for now. Thank you so much. This is Eric and Annette, and we'll be talking to you over on Mighty Networks. Thank you. Bye now.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to take a second to say how much I appreciate you taking the time to listen to these podcasts. I'm having a blast doing them, and I hope that you're finding the content to be what you were really hoping. If you are, please take a second to leave a rating and a review. It's so helpful in getting this content out to people who really need to hear it. Thank you so much.